Greetings and good evening, brethren, on this very special evening that we call the night to be much observed, or also refer to it as the night to be much remembered. I hope that all of you are already enjoying the evening, wherever you may be. It's appropriate that we spend a few minutes to review the meaning of this evening, of this celebration, and why we are here doing so. As we go through this annual rehearsal of this great and significant meeting, that we will come to note that each of those terms, observed and remembered, each has its own special relevance to what we're doing this evening. Now, last evening, we observed Passover. That was to acknowledge the death and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. And then partaking of that activity, that responsibility, and that the Passover service, that our participation in the Passover service acknowledges our acceptance of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made to become our personal Savior. And so that had great meaning as well. So that was the setting for last night. So why are we here tonight? And if you have your Bibles with you, we can turn to Exodus chapter 12, get the account of that goes behind, and most of it goes behind the meaning of this day, provides the meaning for it. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 21, of course, it's referring now to the Passover itself, the setting. Verse 21, then Moses called for all of the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Then we read in verse 28, as we read these verses, it will bring up a point that sometimes people misunderstand and have taken the wrong meaning for it. But in verse 28, this is after the Egyptians have been struck and the firstborn have been killed. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Eternal had commanded Moses and Aaron to do so. And it came to pass at midnight that the Eternal struck all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants, and all of the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night, rise out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Eternal as you have said, and take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. So it appears that they were required to come before Moses, or to come before Pharaoh, after this happened. But in fact, if we notice back in chapter 10 of Exodus, we pick it up in Exodus chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, we have this account that verse 27, but the Eternal hardened Pharaoh's heart. This is after the ninth plague, and he would not let them go. And then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more, for in the day that you see my face, you shall die. So Moses said, you have spoken well. I will never see your face again. And so that's what Moses had said was going to happen. He was not going to see his face anymore. And if you notice back in Exodus 12, verse 22, it said that they were to stay in their houses all night and not leave until the next morning. And the Hebrew word there is boker, and it means right at dawn, while it's still very faint and very hard to even distinguish people. So just before dawn that was to happen. Of course, then we find in Exodus chapter 11, and we'll read in verse 8, that here this is the account is again where Moses is still with Pharaoh when Pharaoh has given his refusal. And he says, you know, you will not see my face anymore. In verse 8, and Moses is talking, and he's talking to Pharaoh, and he says, all these things your servants shall come to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, all the people who follow you. After that, I will go out. Then he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. Moses was very upset. And so the point was that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he may have sent the message, but clearly one of his servants delivered that message to Moses, because his last words that Moses spoke to him was given in verse 8 of chapter 11. So let's continue then in chapter 12 and pick it up in verse 33. It says, then the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we shall be dead. Well, one can just imagine with what's happened that the people really were quite vehement in saying, get out now, get out quickly, and leave us be, because otherwise we may very, very well end up dead. So in verse 34, so the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up and their clothes on their shoulders. So they were prepared to leave. This is, of course, the daytime after Passover. And all of the Egyptians and the firstborn of the Egyptians and the animals that had died. So they pack up very quickly in order to leave, and they don't have time to leaven their bread. Then in verse 35, it says, now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the old King James says they borrowed, but the Hebrew word actually means asked or demanded that they do this. Let's turn back in Exodus chapter 11 to give you the setting in verses 1 through 3. And the Eternal said to Moses, as this is after he had spoken to Pharaoh for the last time, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt, and afterward he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Now speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask or demand, request from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor, articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Eternal gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Well, of course he was. After they saw the things that happened under Moses' hand and the message he delivered, he obviously was renowned among them. And so that the example there shows that they were prepared to get these items, and it could be very well, and some commentaries mention this, that even for a day or so before the Passover evening, that the Israelites were borrowing, or demanding of the Egyptians all these articles. And so they had gathered all of these accounts. And so they had asked, and they were prepared to leave with those items. Then in chapter 12 again, we'll pick it up in verse 37. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children, a mixed multitude. Many of the Egyptians went up with them also, and flocks of herds, a great deal of livestock. So this was a massive number of people. Now there, when it says 600,000 men on foot, what this implies are adult men. And there are some who think that perhaps this word means adults, and the indication, though, is that these are adult men on foot. That would be the counterpart of soldiers to a degree. So if we assume 600,000 men and the wives or ladies, not necessarily married, but and the children, and the Israelites had been fairly prolific in having babies. So the total number of Israelites could have been easily well over 2 million. And that's not counting the massive number or the large number of Egyptians that went with them. So one might wonder, well, how was this accounted or accomplished? Let's turn over to Numbers chapter 33 and just read the first three verses. Numbers 33 says, "Now these are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Eternal. And these are their journeys according to their starting points." So we find in throughout the Exodus, as they traveled, Moses did record very carefully starting points and where they ended up. So this was very important part of what they were doing and what Moses carried out. But verse 3, it says, "And they departed from Ramesses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month." So this was where the Exodus began. Now, all the Israelites had to get to Ramesses in order to begin to do that. So it pointed out in verse 1, it says that they left Egypt in their armies. And that word implies an organized group. There's another verse we'll return to in just a moment. That in verse 33, continuing, "On the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of the Egyptians." So this is clearly one day later. It's not Passover night. It's the daytime. The daytime is still part of Passover. And so they go out on the day after Passover, clearly the 15th day of the first month, with the month of Abib. And they go out the following evening. And clearly they may be tired, but the idea of being free had to be a very joyous occasion. And notice it says over in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 1, "Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Eternal your God. For in the month of Abib, the Eternal your God brought you out of Egypt by night." And so the journey from Ramesses didn't begin until the beginning of the 15th day of the month, which is the day after Passover. So it is a time of celebration. It's a time of liberation and joy, and it was done in an orderly manner. Even there's another scripture in Exodus chapter 13, verse 8, where it talks about Israel being in orderly ranks. So literally there was some organization to their departure from Ramesses. Back at Exodus 12, again, now we pick it up in verse 39 in Exodus 12. In verse 39, "And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provision for themselves." So even though they might have had some indication they might be leaving, and they started collecting from the Egyptians, they were not able to prepare until the very morning after Passover itself. So that's when they had to eat unleavened bread that evening, that night, somewhere when they stopped in Succoth, perhaps, that they were able to bake the unleavened bread for the evening. So in verse 40, it says, "Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Eternal went out from the land of Egypt." So that sometimes confusing. They were not in Egypt 430 years. This phrase down here where it says, "in Israel, they who lived in Egypt," should be basically a parenthetical phrase. That, yes, they did live in Egypt, but not for the entire time. Even, in fact, in the Septuagint translation, the words there are "they lived in Egypt and Canaan," but was added. So 430 years represent the time from which God made his covenant with Abraham, that 430 years later to the day that they departed from Egypt. And I'll just refer to you can check out Genesis chapter 15, verses 12 through 14, where it talks about that. That's information that was actually given to Abraham. So also now in verse 42 of Exodus 12, "It is a night of solemn observance to the Eternal for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Eternal. a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. So it's to be kept for and observed permanently. So in the King James Version, he says, that night of the eternal to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations, which is why we do this. God says we should observe this night and celebrate in a different way than what the Egyptians did, but it's not optional. This is something that God commands us to do. And one could do this even by him or herself if that was necessary, but our tradition is to gather with other brethren, perhaps in a member's home, or to maybe go to a restaurant where we have a private room. And we do that so because we want to be able to speak freely and share freely the discussion about the night to be much observed and celebrate the meaning of the occasion without interruption. And one other note I would add, it is a nightly activity. It's to be done, to be observed at night. It's okay to start the activity maybe a short while before sunset, but it is clearly an observance to be held primarily at night. So what does it have to do with us today? Israel was delivered out of Egypt, and we are called out of the world. We are to be delivered. And as Israel was protected from the 10th plague, where the firstborn were killed, that we are protected by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ from the penalty of our sins, which is death. So we're delivered through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the latter part of the verse says this, indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. So Christ gave himself for our salvation, for the deliverance from our sins, and we observed that sacred service last night, celebrating the sacrifice of Christ, provided atonement for our sins. And we're expected then to continue our journey out of the old way of life, out of sin, into a new way of life of serving and obeying God. In the first part of the verse, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we are to eat unleavened bread for 7 days, and that physical activity is to remind us of the spiritual intent behind obeying and serving Christ and obeying God's law in the Spirit. And notice over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, says, but you have not learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's what we are to continue to do. This night is the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days, we eat this physical bread as a reminder of what we need to do spiritually, putting sin out of our lives. And as such, it's a night to be much remembered. It's a very special time to be liberated from our sins. In fact, James chapter 1, I'll just refer to this, James 1 verse 25, that we're given to understand that God's law is a law of liberty. It gives us freedom from all the curses of disobedience. So we are to obey and serve God even better, work on changing and growing. And it's also a night of observance. The Hebrew word for observe means a vigil. And so this is representative of a night that pictures our continual vigil to obey and serve God and live the way we have covenanted with God at baptism. As Dr. Meredith would often say, we are the church of the forgiven. Passover and this night to be much remembered, a night to be much observed, these things bring into forgiveness, or the forgiveness and our deliverance into focus, so that we appreciate what God has done. So let's all enjoy a very special evening sharing our experiences of how God has called us into His truth, into His church, and sharing how God has worked with us through our years. I hope that you have a very special night to be much observed and a very profitable and meaningful Feast of Unleavened Bread. Good evening.